Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 603. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Why is everybody so mean?
I saw that.
Earl is here as well.
I'm just going to say this to all of our PlayStation gamers out there. You know, you need to be on the right side of history here today. And, our console war is on the line here. Our console warring is on the line. So remember to vote this November.
For the console wars.
For the console wars, yes.
Got it.
We don't play the sides. We don't take sides. We do. There's one side that's batshit insane. And then there's another side that is insane, but not batshit. So.
Jeff is here as well.
I've got chills. They're multiplying.
And I'm losing my voice.
That sounds terrible, Jeff.
I've been sicker this year than this. So, but it's amazing to me that it took me 2.5 years to get COVID finally. So I'm now part of the club. I think that just leaves you, Chris, last man standing.
I haven't tested positive yet. So
there you go. Well, luckily it's been a pretty mild symptoms for me, so hopefully it clears out soon.
Hope so. It was a busy week of rumors and speculation. Ooh.
Innuendo.
Yeah. But before.
And whatever happens with Ubisoft and Assassin's Creed, because at this point, you can't even call them leaks anymore. I mean, it's part of the marketing campaign is that things will come out ahead of time. And well, Ubisoft especially have to confirm it's true.
Yeah. They're terrible. they're bad at that. But we'll get into that in a little bit. Jeff and I have played some... We played a new game, kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a remake of a game from 23 years ago. It's new.
Wait, when is it from?
1999, I believe.
Pac-Man World is 1999.
I can believe that.
What's... Yeah, is it PS1 game?
It was a PS1 game.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Okay. So this is a proper remake, though, you know?
Yes, right? this is not a remaster. This is a remake of that game.
Yeah,
pretty faithful.
Yeah.
Remake, but still a remake. Yes, we're playing Pac-Man World Repack, the remake of Pac-Man World. I have played Pac-Man World before. I think I made it somewhere into like the second level when I played on the PlayStation. I didn't own it until recently. But I played it at friends' houses. And I'm past wherever I got previously, so.
Yeah. I have not played the original one. I've played 2 or 3, which were kind of similar to this. You can tell it's an older game. I mean, it looks new. But I feel like you can tell it's an older game. You know, they don't really make games like this so much. I feel like maybe I'm wrong.
It is a 3D platformer, but not really.
Okay,
3D platformers aren't made a ton in general anymore,
but it's more like Super Mario 3D World or Super Mario Land, where it is not an open world 3D platformer.
It's even. It's like 2.5D. You're running left to right. It's like
a little bit of depth of field. Like you
it's
can
like
move.
Yoshi. I compare it to like the last Yoshi game, more like that than
the Crafted World or
something like that. Something like that, where it's like, yeah, there's some depth. It's technically 3D, but it's like you're running on a track left to right.
Yeah, it's mostly a side scroller. There's a couple levels where you're running towards the camera.
Kind of a crash.
Crash. You don't agree?
Sure. I mean, well, though, I think those levels are the ones where you're running away. Well, you're running away from the camera, not towards the camera. But yeah, you're like those.
Just in general, Crash. I think in general, like that's something I would compare it to is Crash, because like Crash is largely kind of 2D.
I don't know.
3D graphics.
I've never played enough of Crash. I hated like the first few levels of Crash.
Yeah, I like this more than Crash. Yeah. I like this more than Crash, and I like the Pac-Man elements that are like mixed into it, you know?
Yeah.
You'll find mazes, you know, it's just like a Pac-Man maze. I dig that. Like that's another thing that's like making me like this is just kind of, you know, Pac-Man has some character to it, you know, and
yeah,
they incorporated that into this kind of 2D side scroller.
And those mazes are pretty like that. So they're unlockables. Like you have to like eat a special fruit, and then basically it acts as a key to a gate, and you can unlock that the maze that's behind the gate, or other items. Like you can spell out Pac-Man, and there's keys and stuff you can get. But these mazes are pretty cool because as you progress into it, they get more and more complex. Where it's not just a regular, you know, overhead Pac-Man maze. Like they have lasers, and if you run into the laser, Pac-Man dies. So like you have to avoid the lasers and the ghosts.
And you know, it has the power pellets. Like it follows the rule. Like, you know, if you've played a Pac-Man game ever, you're gonna like instantly know what to do.
Yeah, I think the only difference with the power pellets is for whatever reason in this version, Pac-Man becomes like giant Pac-Man.
Love it. I feel like I've done that in other games.
Yeah, they I think some of the more recent
and this is before Mario started doing that trick, right?
Yeah.
Like giant, yeah, like not giant Mario.
Mega Mario.
Yeah. But he'd be like Pac-Man becomes like this gigantic version of himself, and that's how he can eat the ghosts. And those elements are also brought into like the side-scrolling 3D levels, like where you'll hit a switch and then it'll bring up like a bunch of pellets to eat, yeah, like a power pellet.
So it's not just in these separate like optional, you know, mazes. Like within the actual level itself, they'll incorporate the Pac-Man elements.
It's like some of the platforming is a bit challenging.
Yeah.
And the bosses, I just finished the second level boss.
It's pretty tough, I thought. I already forgot what the deal is, like what you gotta do.
So Pac-Man has these like different actions that he can do. Like he can run in place real fast, and then when you let it go, he does like basically like a Sonic spin attack or whatever. But there's these platforms that you can run on. And for this boss, there's four of them, and you have to run on the platforms long enough to basically overload it. And you have to hit all four, and then that opens up, like, his arms, like, freeze, and then you can run up and hit the centerpiece. You
run at him and hit, crash into him.
Yeah.
Problem is, like, these little fans that you have to stand on and spin. It's like he's attacking you the whole time. So, like, you get greedy, and you want to activate that panel. Well, you're gonna get hit, so you have to be like really kind of patient with it. I felt like always on the move. Like you spin it a little bit, you see him coming to attack you, move along to the next one. Like that's what I was doing. I was like kind of spinning plates with it, you know, like
you run a little bit and then like you wait for him to throw like the fireball and like you back out of the way and then run back and finish up what you were doing on it. And that they also drop enemies and towards the back, like the back half of that. So there's only four stages of this boss, but the last two stages they introduce like tornadoes, and he's still throwing the fireballs at you. There's more enemies on the field, and it's one of those ones where the board has broken. So,
oh yeah,
like you have to like navigate around. Like
tiles keep falling. Keep falling away, and it becomes harder to not fall off.
Yeah.
Although, if you keep dying, they'll feel like you want to activate easy mode, and then the tiles will stop falling off.
Oh, is that what that happened? It did ask me that, and I was like, no, I don't want to do that.
That was the only thing that changed. The boss was still generally as hard. Like, nothing else made it easier. It was still hard to beat him, so I felt bad about activating it, but I was so frustrated with it after a while. But it really was like I just wasn't treating the boss with respect. Like I it was like
you were disrespecting the boss.
No, it was just like I thought, oh, this game is easy for kids, and it's like, no, well, this boss is kind of hard. You have to like you gotta do like I said, like not be greedy. Like keep moving. As soon as you see him attack, move and
yeah, they're
not that, you know, not that bad in the end. Like
there's a surprising challenge to this game that was not like I don't remember because like as I said, I only got to about where I was now anyway at when I originally played it on the PlayStation. And that first level is pretty easy. Like it's pretty easy to get through. The first boss is pretty standard. But yeah, like the space level, like they start introducing lasers and they're timed and enemies that like have area effects, and it gets difficult. Like I don't think it's like super hard, and you earn enough extra lives that I feel I have plenty, but
I'm out.
Sorry.
Yeah. I based them all on that boss, I think, or whatever. I don't know. Yeah, it's pretty cool, but I think that there's, you could tell playing it that it's not like a new game. Like it looks newish, but I don't know, it just feels like something that wouldn't come out today, I guess. I don't know how to explain it, like what I'm trying to say.
I agree. I don't think that if they were to like, I mean, they haven't, right? Like, so they made three of these types of games.
Yeah.
And then more recently they did those Ghostly Adventure games, which are more like, you know, more standard Mario type open world. And they're easier too. Like this is very much a PlayStation era platform. I don't think Crash is easy either. Like that game can be a pain in the ass.
This is not as hard as that. Crash is harder.
Right. Yeah.
Way
but it has there's like a little bit of a bite to it.
That there's things, you know, one thing that's like sticking out to me as I'm going through it is there's all these collectibles, again, like the optional mazes, and they're all behind these like hidden gate, or not hidden, like they're like, you know, gates or doors in the level that you have to unlock. And in order, like, you know, to unlock the door, it'll be a cherry above the door, so you need to collect a cherry, right?
Yep.
And it's always, you pass the door, you go a little bit past the door, you'll find the cherry, and then you have to backtrack through the level to the door, and that's kind of annoying to me. It's like almost always that way. Have the cherry hidden before the door, so I don't have to like constantly double back in the level. Like, I don't know. There's something about me that I don't like that much.
Because sometimes like getting to where the cherry is a pain in the ass. So now you have to navigate it backwards. It's still a pain in the ass, but you have to navigate and then redo that section.
I think I'm a little further than you. There's been a few times where I'm like, you know what? I just want to get through the level. Like, I don't care. Like, I got my achievement for getting all the Pac-Man letters once. I knew that was going to be an achievement. I don't look up achievements when I play a game, but I'm like, all right, getting all the Pac-Man letters, that's got to be one. And I finally got one. The first level was the easiest one to get, but I missed it because there's, like, a box you need to stand on to get the N. And I broke the box, and then there's no
way for you. I did that, too. You can get up there.
Oh, really?
If you use the butt bounce. Near, like, yeah, it'll bounce you up and he'll grab the ledge.
I can do it. They added moves too. I read that. Did you notice you have that like the flutter move where you could kind of like stay airborne a little bit longer if you hold down X?
Yeah,
I think that's a new move.
Yeah, probably, but it's a new old move because it's a move that you could do in Pack Land, which was side-scrolling
one. It's not super useful because you can't move much with it. It's not like Yoshi, where you're like, you know how Yoshi, you can get an extra 5 feet out of it.
Right.
Here, it's like, it just keeps you afloat and you can move a little bit. Like,
yeah, it's not super great. Like,
but I don't know. I don't really have any regrets about getting this. I was iffy about it. Like, I was like, $30 for this. Like, it's an old game. But there's the fact that they did do a proper remake of it. Like, it looks modern at the very least. And it's fun, you know. Like, I don't know how long it's gonna be. It feels like it might not be a super long game. But
I'm going through and I've completed, like, gotten the crown on each of the levels I've gone through. So I've done everything in World 1 and World 2, and it took me 2 hours. So if it stays at that pace, it's probably like a six and a half hour game, 7 hour game, maybe.
How many worlds is it?
There's six.
Oh, okay, that's not too bad.
Cause you can see when you save the game, it shows you the levels and then the family members you have to rescue in them. So the last level, whatever world six is you rescue Pac-Mom.
I thought it was gonna be four for some reason. So that's not too bad, but
yeah.
I do wish that like this was like a remake where they had two and three with it and they're all remade and
be nice.
I would like pay $60 for that. Yeah, I would pay $50-$60 for that. Like, but
I hope this does well enough though, because I wouldn't be opposed to getting like a remake of two and three.
A lot of people saying that two is the peak. So like, please do this for part two. Which I think I don't know which one I own for GameCube, two or three, but it would be nice to just play it kind of modernized, like this widescreen, nice graphics, all that.
Yeah. So that's out there, $30. And a pretty good achievement list. Like, just playing the game should net you most of it. So there is some weird. I don't know. You have an achievement that I don't know how to trigger. Like, it was one of the slot machine ones. Like, trigger a slot fever. I'm like, the slot machine is not, I am bad at it.
I'm glad you touched on that. I forgot to touch on that. I fucking hate the slot machine.
It's super slow. It's
just, let's let me
figure it out.
Make it work like a real slot machine. Press A, the wheels go, boom, you win or you lose. Now, don't make me like time it. They're trying to do like in, what is it, like Super Mario 3, where you have to like time it. I hate that, dude. Like, it's so slow. Like,
the actual slot thing, like getting
everything about it is slow.
Like,
yeah,
because I think the actual slot dial, like the ones with the different shapes on it that you have to press stop on, I think it moves too fast, so you can't get a sense of
it's the whole process of doing it that way. It's just like, I'm not gonna win this. Why are you making me go through this? Just press X for auto spin or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yep. Just like, maybe I win, maybe I lose. I don't know. I don't care. Like,
that's another like kind of old school feeling thing in it. Like, I don't know.
It just does like, take forever to get through it because you have to do all.
Like, I just start pressing
play
A.
The level well. Even there though, it just takes time because
you got any coins you collect. That's another chance to play the slots.
Yep.
I really dislike the slot machine. So I'm happy you touched on that. I almost forgot to mention that.
Oh, it's a weird thing. Anyway, that's Pac-Man World Repack. I'm enjoying it. Jeff seems to be enjoying it.
Sure.
Tony, you play anything this week?
I've been playing Madden, which is an experience.
Nothing. Okay, moving on.
Oh, no.
So, right before the show started, I posted a clip in our DMs of me, I was trying to, like, so it was the fourth down play. So I hit the hurry up button, hoping that, like, the game would let me hurry up instead of taking my quarterback off the field and kicking a field goal. Well, they kicked a field goal. For some reason, when you do that, the next play that you're on the field to run offense, the camera pans all the way out to the end of the stadium. So, like, instead of having the end zone camera that you're used to seeing in Madden when you're running a play, the camera is, like, 300 yards away in the very top of the deck of the stadium, and you can't even see the field. So I can see, like, I have receivers running around and there's two buttons for me to throw a pass. But I can't actually see what's going on. So I'm just like, okay, I'm going to just push a button and pray that it happens correctly. I did complete the pass, but there's just too many things like this in Madden this year, like too many random bugs. So I'm playing.
Sounds familiar, Tony. I feel like I've heard this story before.
I'm playing the career mode. Every week you get a chance to practice a play set. Which means normally means you have to complete 5 passes in that particular whatever it is, slants or like curls or whatever it happens to be. Occasionally, on the 5th one for the gold medal, it'll be you have to complete this pass for a first down in order to get the gold medal. It's bugged. So you fail no matter what happens every time. You'll have, like, there are goals every week in every game. Occasionally, that goal will be something like throw 2 or less interceptions. All of the do this or less goals are bugged. So that you you actually succeed by exceeding. So in that case, you would complete the goal, get whatever the reward is, if you throw 3 or more interceptions in that game. The game is like littered with things like that, where you're just like, how did you not notice this when you were like putting the game out? Like they're all so obvious. And that's like...
Well, it's the first draft that they're releasing.
Well, that's the insane part. It's like they release Madden now, and you are better off playing Madden 2 months after release when they fixed all the bugs.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of games, but this has been a pattern with Madden for at least 2 years now, it sounds like.
And it's hard, like, with other, like, Madden is just an iteration on the previous year. So you expect these sorts of bugs to be fixed year over year. And they're not. Like, this is the 4th consecutive year that Madden has been in this engine. These sorts of bugs should be gone. And they're not. They're still here. So, it's, like, I'm getting to the point where I'm pretty frustrated with Madden. Like, I don't know that I will be buying it at launch next year. If you're going to have, at this point in a console cycle, at this point in the cycle of the engine that you're using to run the game, these kind of rudimentary problems.
Yeah, I mean, I get wanting to get it when it comes out because the season's about to start and all that. Right. But
and that's what they capitalize on. It's like, football's coming. I want to play football. I would not, like, there's no way. Like, I look forward to playing a franchise. I will be my Patriots later on in the season. It's going to be a couple months before I try. Because, you know, I want to have a good experience. I want to play through it the right way. I don't want to get screwed like I did last year, where they literally added an awesome feature to the franchise mode after I had already gone 3 seasons in my franchise. So.
Wish there was a competition like back in the day. I don't know how much that would help, but it was always interesting.
If you look at, like, major sports franchises, there's no competition anymore in any of them.
Yeah. It was always good having options, though, and I think Madden always kind of played the best, but I thought the 2K series had, like, really cool shit in it.
Yeah, there were good features, but, yeah, Madden was still better.
Well, it pushed Madden and NHL and, you know, the NBA games pushed each other to, you know, introduce new things. So Madden was still stayed at the top, but, like, they would take things from 2K's franchise mode and stuff and implement
push their presentation too. Like the 2K like had the presentation aspect better than Madden. And
Madden's presentation hasn't been upgraded in several years now. They're like via pro or career mode is right now probably the worst one of the ones that I've recently played. Like MLB The Show's is great. NBA 2K's is great. This is like, you know, playing Madden just on offense with one player for 16 games. And that's it. There's no, like, anything extra to that. Like, there's a couple of cutscenes, and that's all you get.
The stuff that they're putting in the 2K this year sounds so, like, the NBA 2K sounds so awesome. Like, where you can start a franchise in the 80s and the TV presentation looks like it would have in the 80s, and it grows it progresses as you play. So you can play like 70 years, and it'll continue to advance. So like you move through the 80s, the 90s presentation gets better, the 2000 presentation gets better. But Madden is like, here's what it is, and it's good enough, but
right,
nothing special.
No.
Also, bring back the arcades. Bring back Street and Blitz and all that.
Be great.
I don't think that will happen with the concussion stuff. I think those kind of things are done now.
Bummer. I mean, they're redoing Blitz for that arcade one-up thing. They had to take out a bunch of like the excessive hits and to kind of mitigate it. But you know, that game should still play the same. But yeah, I mean, who knows? Midway doesn't really even exist anymore, and EA Big has been dead for years. So,
I loved EA Big, dude.
Yeah,
that was cool.
I mean, I know, you know, Tony likes the simulation basketball games like NBA 2K, but man, NBA Street was so fucking good.
Yeah, man, that's what I like. Like, except for golf. Then again, even golf, like I like the Mario Golf. So I don't know. I like it all, but it's nice to have variety, you know. You guys are right. It's like every sport kind of has one game now.
Yeah, there's only one NHL game. One, well, I guess there's two soccer games, but the Konami game is a joke. Nobody's playing eFootball, and it's not actual competition to FIFA or whatever it's going to be called next year.
EA FC.
Yes. Well, Tony, thank you for that. Because I was like, you know, the season's like, you know, what starts next week, right? Like next Thursday. Yeah. It's like, I was getting the itch for it. And I think I'll wait. Like, as you said, it'll be better like mid season.
Yeah, definitely. I would definitely wait.
And by then it should have like, it'll probably hit its first sale or something. So maybe I can get it.
Sure.
Or if you wait long enough, it'll be on EA Play and you won't have to pay anything for it.
Yeah.
That's the one. Like I hate
cause it's too long though. Cause it's after this.
Yeah. It's like February.
They release it like the week of the Pro Bowl.
Yeah. You're not really thinking football anymore. You're like,
I'm done with football.
I'm done with football. Yeah. I'm tired.
There's only one game left.
It's the game.
Big game. Right. But I'm not going to play a whole season of Madden in a week. Like,
no.
All right. Well, Madden's out there. Maybe wait on it. Don't
play it yet.
Earl, you play anything else this week?
Yeah. I've played two things. I don't remember. I think this might have been before my time. But since it came on Game Pass, and Game Pass will be the theme of the week, me and my friend started playing Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Okay.
That's actually pretty fun.
How does the co-op work in that? Because I played the sequel with friends, Breakpoint. So how's the co-op work with Wildlands?
I mean, I imagine how you would think co-op works. Like you're on a squad together, and you can kind of do stuff on your own, but it helps to, you know, like be around each other. Especially when you get in trouble. But yeah, you join somebody's game. People can pick different missions, which can be very fun to read a map with like five different waymarks on them. You go and things happen. And yeah.
Do people progress separate? If we're playing and you pick a mission, and then I pick a mission and Tony picks a mission. Like, can we like redo missions? Is it everybody progressing the same or?
I assume we all get credit for the missions. Like you get credit for the story mission and stuff like that, but it is an RPG aspect. So I assume like, you know, you get XP and stuff like that. I guess it can, you know, the same, but like, you know, you might get more points for killing somebody that your teammate doesn't.
Got it.
Stuff like that. And yes, there are also times when I think, if somebody goes down, you can revive them, but then they.
I never go down. What are you talking about?
Oh, my, that's an issue you should speak up to your girlfriend about. and yes, and stuff like that. And again, like I said, you can. It's like, you know, there was one point where, because, you know, there's helicopters in that game, for instance. And there's motorbikes and stuff like that. Like some of it, I mean, it's a Ghost Recon game. So it tends to be a bit more. We were going with realistic for a bit until I started driving up the side of a mountain with a truck. But it does tend to be a bit more grounded. It's like, you know, like enemies are really good with their aiming. So you want to be careful of that. You don't, you know, you don't necessarily want to get into firefights. There is an element of stealth. There's an element of, like, you know, like, okay, this person's going to take out the guy. You know, like, there are, like, synchronized shots, which I think is more for, like, when you have AI. It doesn't work as well. I mean, you could just tell your teammate, like, we're going to go shoot this dude and go shoot that dude in the head. But, like, yeah, you know, like, having one teammate on, like, sniper duty who takes out the sniper, and then the rest of you go over and try to hear out the base without making as much noise as possible. Because, you know, like, once you, you know, it's kind of, I don't know if you folks remember, I don't know why I'm making comparison to the Mad Max game, but, like, you know, like, you have, like, these bases you can control, like, you can take over, and once you control that, you can call in, like, rebels, which are essentially allies. But, like, if you, you know, while you're fighting it, like, if alarms go off, they can call in for reinforcements and stuff like that. So it's one of those, okay. Yeah.
So, like, that you are they like a game mechanic that, like, you utilize, or are they, like, independent?
I think they are a game mechanic. I will be honest, we did not get that far. Okay. I mean, I wasn't paying attention. There's a lot of tutorials that pop up. Like, yeah, you do your tutorials, you do you. But no, the core game, I think we all kind of agreed, is really fun. Again, I think Rainbow Six has that. I've always enjoyed the co-op. I think Vegas was the first one I played on the 360. Again, cause mm-hmm. it does actually kind of behoove you to actually kind of play as a unit and not like, yeah, yep. Death. But I'm sure you've all played games. I mean, I'm sure we've played games together where you got, like, that one person like, oh, I got this. I'm going to run off and just kill a bunch of stuff. And everybody else is like, wait, where are you? What are you doing? Just follow the dead bodies. That's where I am. I'm like, yeah, that's fun. But it's like, you know, like, it's nice to sometimes, like, maybe sit back, just think of a strategy, let's execute it.
How dare you? There's no thinking in games.
Sometimes there isn't. And then the other game I started playing, which I have found super charming, super relaxed, and super adorable, is a game called Paparazzi.
Yep.
Have you played this?
I think Tony and I both have played it.
My son played through it. He loved it.
It's really cute. It's really charming. So, I mean, it's essentially, I mean, I guess for lack of a better term, it's not Animal Crossing, wow, Pokemon Snap with dogs. You go, you take pictures of dogs, there's different types of objectives that they give you. Take a picture of a dog in a hat, take a picture of a dog, you know, take a picture of a dog riding a bike, take a picture of a dog. Don't take a picture of a dog, which is a weird one for me. Take the best picture you can without taking a picture of a dog. So that was like, I take a picture of a bunch of ducks, stuff like that. Then you get different types of lenses. You get black and white. You can get a sepia. You can get, you know, like, different filters. You could get wide ends and fish eyes and all this other fun, weird, funky stuff. But yeah, I've just been playing it this afternoon, and it's been just an absolute delight so far. Check it out. It's on Game Pass. Yeah, I think that's the gist of what I've been playing.
Great. Jeff, you play anything else besides Pac-Man?
I played another brand new game.
Yeah.
This is brand new, actual brand new game.
Okay, because we haven't gotten to the other game I thought we were going to talk about. I don't know if Chris actually got that or.
What's that?
Oh, Turtles.
Yes.
I have not gotten Turtles.
This is like an actual. Like, they still sometimes make new video games. Although you could argue that this is not very new in many ways. Blossom Tales 2 for the Nintendo Switch. I think it's Switch exclusive, maybe?
I didn't realize it came out.
Huh?
I didn't realize it came out.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if Blossom Tales games are also on PC, but I think that's console-wise, they're Switch exclusive. They are like Link to the Past clones, like
Yeah.
They look like Super Nintendo games. They're very clearly, like, inspired by Link to the Past, and pretty fun. You know, I'm having fun with it. I've played through Link to the Past a million times, so there's nothing like new for me to see there. So this is pretty neat to get to play, and it's only $15, and I'm sure it'll go on sale for even less than that. I don't know. Not much to really say about it. It's very much like playing through like a top-down Zelda from that era. It's like getting a new top-down Zelda, you know, now. What were you going to say, Earl?
Oh, no, I was going to say, because I played the original. The original is a ton of fun, but it is very much a Link to the Past.
It's like I don't know what to really add. Like, I don't, there's specific things that are kind of different, like... when you get bombs and bow and arrows, like they're not like limited, like it's unlimited use. That's pretty cool. But again, yeah, there's not really, it's not like interesting to talk about, but it's like, if you like that type of game, these games are fun, you know? And yeah, I don't know what the first one went for when it came out, but this one's $15.
I think that's around $15
well spent.
Yeah, and then like it, you could find it on sale for like $10 every so often.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's nice to have something to play on the Switch for one. It's been kind of a while. Outside of like I haven't played that Mario Kart a bit, but it's nice to have something like new to like dig through on the Switch. I guess I'll have maybe more to say about it next week as I like approach the end of it, hopefully. We'll see.
When are you going to play Tinykin, Jeff?
Maybe after that. I'll try it out.
That's the Pikmin type platformer?
It is literally Pikmin. There's no boss fights, it's not, but it's all... No. It's all... What do you mean it's not, Jeff?
I mean, just looking at the trailer, I could tell it was
no, not. It really is. It's like the Pikmin puzzle-solving parts. There's no boss fights, but it's like fighting different Pikmin.
Yeah, but like, it's not exact. Like,
it really is. I have watched, like, let me tell you, I've watched a lot of this game in the past.
Well, in the trailer alone, there was a lot of platforming, and there's, like, no platforming in Pikmin.
It's a mix of Pikmin and platforming, which sounds like your alley.
Yeah, I mean, it looks deep, but also, like... You know, one thing I really love about Pikmin is like you're in this shrunken down, like you're very small, and like you're interacting with this world that looks almost photorealistic. And this like is very like cartoony.
You are very small. The characters are cartoony. The world itself is not as cartoony.
Yeah, I don't know, it looked fun. It looked interesting, but there's only one Pikmin, and I need it. I need another one.
Never mind.
I'll try it out.
You don't deserve it after you made fun of Tinykin.
I didn't make fun of it. I mean, I did. I guess I did in my little like video rant on Twitter. But it looks kind of fun. Like, I'll try it out for sure.
All right. I went back and finished Back for Blood. Woo! That's a game.
That is a game.
Completionist.
Masochist.
So this is something we noticed when we, you know, the four of us tried to play it, or when Earl, me, you, Tony, and Walt tried to play it. That game is hard with four people, even on recruit. That game gets significantly, I think, Tony, you and Walt had mentioned that it was significantly easier when just the two of you were playing.
Yep.
The game is significantly easier when it is just you. It's just not as much fun because at that point it's just kind of a rote shooter. The shooting is decent enough. There are parts that, you know, where it gets a little bit challenging. In fact, there's this thing called a hag that comes, and if you startle it, it will grab onto you and swallow you, and basically like it incapacitates you. You're dead until your teammates can rescue you. When you're playing it single player wise, they give you the option of taking over one of the bots, so you can continue going. But there was a level we're going through this like a garden maze type thing, like a hedge maze, and I couldn't find my way out, and I just kept getting fucked over by this hag. She kept eating me and killing me. Like I actually killed a couple runs that way. But once I got through there, most of it is really fine up until the final boss, which is brutally badly designed.
Oh no.
It is. So you jump down into this area and these tentacles come up. You have to take out the tentacles. And once you do that, then it opens up these four holes, which you jump into. And then you fight a giant boss thing where you're shooting the inside of its mouth. That's the weak point. So this all takes like a long period of time, like, you know, maybe 10, 15 minutes to get all the tentacles and then to fight the boss in this arena. Once you hit the weak spots in the mouth long enough, it'll retreat, and then it puts up a 5-minute timer, and you have to take out the four weak spots that are randomly on this thing's body. And this thing is huge. It's like super long, like a couple city blocks long. So you're now trying to run, you have 5 minutes to take these things out, and the terrain is not even. There are drop-offs where you can completely fall. Well, in that game, you can't like just fall to your death. Like, you fall and hold on to the edge until one of your teammates comes and rescues you. And that takes time. And then there's zombies everywhere. So you have all these infected that are trying to stop you as you're trying to run and catch this monster that is three city blocks long and moves faster than you to defeat it. So I was like, all right, I played everything in this game solo up until this point. Let me maybe I can hop in a game where somebody knows what they're doing. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. And so I started playing online, four players, and it's impossible. Couldn't even get past the first phase, the tentacle part. Like, impossible. And I was about to like, I guess I'm just not beating this, and gave it one more shot, and I did it. But what a weird design on that. But there's so many weird choices in that. I don't know. We only played through the first act, I think, most of the first act together. They reuse a lot of the same locations.
I don't know.
In subsequent acts, like, you'll go through that, like the place where the gas station and library are, multiple times.
Yeah, I mean, even when we played it, I think there's a mission for you to get there, and then like the next time you play, it's like you have to go back.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they do that more and more. Like, you're continuing, and like, I guess thematically and narratively, it makes sense. Like, because you're based, your base is in this one area, and you're venturing out from there. But to have to keep going through the same areas over and over again, it just feels sloppy. And then, you know, the further you play into it, the more of those corruption cards they start tacking on. So the game starts getting, like, you know, more and more difficult, just with the types of enemies they have. Like, oh, like, we're going to throw birds at you, plus these snitches that... so. Like, if you alert a snitch, even if you kill it before it can sound off, it'll alert the horde. If you disrupt the birds, you're going to alert the horde. If you use explosives, you'll alert. Like, there's so much bullshit they add onto it. And I think
you'll move, you'll alert the hordes.
Yeah, it's like, well, so you've made it not fun. Like, the thing about Left 4 Dead was, it was a pretty chill game. Like, you just jump in. You all have a different character. You that character has a specialization. You know, one guy's the shotgun guy, other guy's like the AR guy. In this, you're kind of building like up your character through these cards. Oh, and the other thing is that all those upgrades you get in the act, they don't carry over to the next act. So when you start act two, you're starting at zero again. So your gun is like a common gun. It's like the 5 damage gun. And by the end of Act 1, you're using like a purple gun, like, you know, 65, 70 damage on it. They restart you all the way back at the beginning. All your health is reset. All your equipment modifications and upgrades that you've bought throughout the first act, they're all gone. Every act starts new. So that's one thing that where Act 4, the boss, that's the only thing that is in Act 4. You're starting at zero and fighting this enemy. Like, so you're using like shitty weaponry. They do give you a good, like, there's some weapons that drop that can get you, you know, close to where you may have been, but it's not the same. Like, you don't have the amount of health, you don't have the amount of health kits or offensive weaponry. It's like you can use all the you know, you can buy extra grenade slots and you know, they can be more effective. You don't have any of that in the final act. It just, what a weird game. Cool concept, like in the fact that they were going to link all these acts together, and basically you're playing through like a big budget zombie action film or TV show. But it's like the cards, the roguelike elements of like, here's a run, and if you fail the run, you have to start over again. Or you can start at any point of what you cleared, but you're starting at zero, so it makes it harder. Like, just a weird design on that. But that's done. I don't recommend going back to it unless, like,
you hate yourself or you're so bored.
Yeah, it was just like, I needed an achievement for that alphabet competition, and it had one that I could easily get. And I was like, I'll see what I can do now in this, because we haven't played it since it launched. And when it launched, you couldn't even play single player and get any advancement. Like, it wasn't playable that way. So that's all there now. It's a better package than it was, but it's not great. Tony, I heard you went back and played some Battlefield 2042?
Yes. Which is vastly improved. The game runs infinitely better. They have changed a lot of the maps. There were a lot of maps that had a lot of sticking points that were really ugly and not really fun to play through. That has all been changed. There's a bunch of new maps now too that are a lot of fun. They have taken some of the bad maps actually out of rotation.
That's nice.
Which is good. There's a battle pass now that, you know, is kind of easy to unlock stuff, which is kind of what I feel like playing Battlefield game is about, like leveling up, unlocking stuff, which the unlocks in like prior to the battle pass were too rare. You'd spend a lot of time playing and not really unlocking a whole lot.
Right.
But I think that the biggest thing is the game is just infinitely more stable. Like, it's easy to get into a match now. You don't have to worry about getting dropped out of your party. The game just works better, you know.
It works.
Yes. Which, if you go back, like, a year ago, like, they were, like, DICE was, like, laying off staff and, like, oh, we're not going to support this. And, like, they've really, like, turned it around. So it's a much more playable, much more interesting experience. And it feels like a Battlefield game. Like, the new maps and the redone maps, they all have a lot of destructible terrain. Like, it's like fighting through a bunch of shacks. And then your shacks are, like, blowing up and the walls are exploding. And there's chaos everywhere. The maps at launch, a lot of them, the terrain wasn't destructible. It just kind of felt like samey, like you're fighting over the same spots a lot and nothing ever changes. Even with like the weird weather effects which are still around. The one change I don't like, I'm a big fan of, there's this recoilless rifle that's basically a all-purpose explosive weapon that I carry everywhere. They've kind of nerfed it a bit versus vehicles. So, like, it was, like, 3 shots that you could kill a tank before. Now it's, like, 5. and you can only carry 4 shots. So that's kind of frustrating. But Walt and I have played a ton of it this week. It's really fun. Probably going to play a lot more of it.
Good. Maybe I'll jump into that with you guys at some point.
Yes. Yeah, and the other thing is it's on EA Play now.
Yeah, so it's part of Game Pass and easy to jump into.
There's no reason not to play, yeah.
And there's not much reason for me to play Halo again until maybe November for like 2 weeks, so.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to have like a multiplayer player game to go to.
Yeah, this is the first one I've been able to get into this year, I think. This has been a long, long time.
You play anything else besides that, or?
Some more Total War Warhammer 3, but we don't need to talk about that.
Probably makes Jeff happy, so.
Yeah, you guys are welcome. You're welcome.
You're
welcome.
So, yeah, I mentioned this at the beginning. Lots of rumors this week. I think we touched on Assassin's Creed Mirage was officially revealed because of a leak and a rumor. The part of the rumor that interested me on that one was that they're going to remake Assassin's Creed 1.
Yeah.
So that could be fun. And Mirage is going to take place. It sounds like it's going to take place in like ancient Iraq, like Baghdad area.
With one of the characters from Valhalla as like the main character.
Oh, really? I don't think I read that part. That's pretty cool. Yeah, so I don't know, we'll see. Did they leak an announcement on when that's coming, or is it just September?
I thought it was September. Maybe I'm confusing. I thought something was September 8th, but that might have also, there was several things that were announced this week.
September 10th is when they're going to announce when it's coming. Got it.
I mean, that's from memory of me looking at Twitter today, but yeah. So we'll
it's supposed to be coming out in, I think the rumor is Q1 of next year.
Oh, great. So when everything else is coming out.
Yeah.
Like,
sweet.
Well, yeah, you know, that stuff will all come out. So
that's a weird time. Like, Assassin's Creed games always release in the fall.
We've just moved fall to early.
Well, we've always done that. It's just. Because, I mean, it's the end of the fiscal year. You either get stuff out or you try to get stuff out to like, oh, you know, we just launched this game that shows X number of stuff. But, yeah, it's always because it's always been that. And then it's been it's that holidays in this. And then it's like nothing from like April to like September.
Yeah. And so some of the other rumors that were kind of circulating. Rumor that Nintendo is going to have a Direct that should make Jeff happy if it hits even one of the three games that they were mentioning.
I thought you were going
to
say one
very,
of the
very games. Interesting rumor here. It's almost like I was on to something.
I don't think it's coming this year, Jeff. I think they're going to announce them, but they're going to be next year.
I think none of them are going to come this year.
No.
I think you're wrong. I think you're way wrong.
I think something will come this year. I don't think I mean,
Earl's on my side now.
Well, no, that the discussion last week wasn't that. The discussion last week was, I don't think they need to announce anything else for the rest of the year.
Well, if they do, that means Nintendo would agree with me that they need a little something extra, right?
So the rumor is that The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker and Twilight Princess HD are going to be making the jump to Switch. And that finally, maybe the Metroid Prime Trilogy collection, which has been rumored for like ever since the Switch existed.
I did not read this specific rumor, but I mean, these rumors have been going on for a while. But the last I heard was just Metroid Prime. Does this rumor say trilogy? Yeah.
Maybe I misread it. I thought it said that it was the Metroid Prime trilogy.
Yeah, at the end of the day, would I take a Metroid Prime trilogy? Yeah. But you know what I would like even more? It's just Metroid Prime 1 completely redone. Like, really redone. So
that's we'll not see. Happening.
Yeah.
They're not going to do that, Jeff. Sorry.
You guys keep telling me I'm wrong, but I don't know.
You're wrong. It's kind of like it goes hand in glove.
So yeah, that rumor that I posted into the chat was just a Metroid Prime remaster. So not a remake, a remaster. So it'll be that Wii port uprest.
Yeah. They could do some little things with it, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess they could just release it with the GameCube controls, but I feel like they should add an option to use the right stick to aim.
That'd be nice. Yeah,
but I guess what, man? I'm gonna go strong here. I'm gonna say they're gonna do this thing in September. There's gonna be a Zelda for maybe not. The Metroid Prime thing will be in October or November, and then Zelda will be in December. One of them, not both of them. I still think it's weird that Twilight Princess again so soon.
I mean, I was gonna say you say that, but it's also been almost a decade. Am I not wrong? Was it?
Oh, well, they did Twilight Princess HD
on the Wii U, but that was like 2014, 2015.
It feels sooner.
You're right. Guess, 2016, so 6 years.
Okay.
Well, and what was Wind Waker? Probably like 2014, something like that.
2013.
Yeah, but I just feel like there's more interest in. I don't get the Twilight Princess because, like, is there really interest? I don't know. Like, I feel like people, even though like the Wind Waker, like, you know, remaster for the Wii U is really good. I feel like everyone just wants that game to be available to them on every new Nintendo system because it's awesome. And yeah, Twilight Princess is good, you know. But I don't know. They gave us Skyward
Sword. 14-hour intro.
Yeah. I mean, they gave us Skyward Sword.
Shorten with the remake.
But yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I just, you know, the game has its moments, but I really want my Wind Waker. And I want my Metroid Prime. And I think they're both. I think Nintendo's going to have a stellar year when all is said and done.
Right. So, Jeff Grubb was saying that he has been told pretty definitively that the Prime remaster will arrive in time for Prime's 20th anniversary, which is in November. So. So see? We'll see. He's been wrong recently, but
can't wait for you all to eat shit.
He's normally a pretty good rumor master.
I feel like you are misinterpreting the argument we had last time, which was that I still don't think they need these games this year. Zelda and Metroid is not going to do anything that Splatoon and Pokemon wouldn't have done.
Well, if they're going to do it this year, I'm guessing they agree with me.
I agree with you on what?
That they need to release them. I don't know. But there's holes in their lineup.
They heard you got COVID, Jeff, and
they're throwing Jeff a bone for fun.
Finally they're throwing you a bone. It's taken forever, but they're there.
I've got to call a spade. I mean, the 2 and 3 is going to probably sell as much as the 2 Zeldas and Metroid Prime trilogy combined. And Pokemon, I don't even think you have to say anything about.
Well, yeah, but it's also fuck Pokemon, you know? So I'm saying, what matters to us? And,
I mean, Pokemon. Honestly, Pokemon.
Pokemon.
No, Pokemon is not. Pokemon is, like, so played out. Hate it.
You're so played out.
The one that came out early this year, what else do you need? That was cool. It was different.
More.
Yes, but okay, but I would point out that you are literally advocating for the re-release of a game you've played and has been available on, I believe, just to be the fourth Nintendo system.
I would love for them to make a new one. New games would be cool, but apparently they have issues, so
Well, I mean, because they're making new games. You don't want the new game, so you rather...
No, I want them to make new Zelda and Metroids, not new, like, little baby Pokemon. You know, give me a new Pikmin. How about that? Where's that?
So, again, just...
Tiny kid, we gave you a new Pikmin.
That does not count.
Shut up, Jeff. You don't count.
So, again, just, you know, just as...
I've never played a Pikmin clone that was any good. The Overlord game could suck my dick.
Overlord was bad. This is not Overlord.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people liked Overlord. I don't remember anything about it.
There's certain things that's, you know... I don't know. Whatever. I think I'm right. I think that...
What are you right about? I guess that's.
I think we're getting the Metroid. At the very least, we're getting.
To be fair, it just hasn't been rumored for the past 3 years.
I know, but that's what I was trying to argue last time. Like, no, they're good. They're good. They got their.
Yes, and I still they're good.
I think they have the best lineup of the three major.
You mean they have a lineup?
Right. They have.
They
a
have
lineup.
Games.
They have a lineup. Yeah, but like. Yeah, it's just like,
I mean, they're gonna dominate sales for like they. It's not like they.
I think Nintendo's in trouble. No one's gonna buy anything Nintendo.
I'm not saying that. I agree. If it stays as it is right now, it's still better than what the other two have. But
I don't think anybody here is gonna complain that games are coming.
Yeah,
like if they're like. Hey, we're going to release these games that you want, and we've been rumored for 5 years to have been made. Please bring it.
That Metroid Prime rumor has been going for probably 5 years almost.
Yeah, so, since the Switch came out.
I mean, right? It's been, because it was originally Detroit. And part of it, I would imagine, was that it sounded like it was probably a project that was started to build hype for Metroid Prime 4 when that was announced back in 2017, 2018. And that got rebooted. So it probably has been a project that was like, it was probably like HD ports at one point, and they're just like, oh, we have time. We could do stuff with this.
I would love them to actually redo Metroid Prime. Like, do it in the graphics that Metroid Prime 4 is going to have. Oh my God. It would be so cool. But I'm not saying that's what I think is going to happen, but I do think that the Metroid Prime remaster is coming, and it's coming this year.
Well, I hope for you, Jeff, that it hits.
I'm still apparently I got super drunk and pre-ordered Splatoon 3 at some point. I checked my emails and it was like, thank you for pre-ordering Splatoon 3. I'm like, I did?
I didn't know.
No.
Desperate. I'm looking forward to the game. I haven't even sober pre-ordered it, so maybe that's what I need to do.
Deathloop is coming to the PlayStation Plus Premium lineup, and some people are speculating that that's going to indicate that it's going to hit Game Pass at the end of September. I don't know.
That'd be cool. I would happily play that.
They evidently are not allowed to talk about or advertise it coming to other consoles until after the year exclusivity is up. So I believe that's sometime this month.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. I'll be interested to play that, although it seemed that game burned really bright at the beginning and faded really quick. Like, it did not have... like staying power in the the overall gaming discussion.
Hey man, sometimes it's a quick, you know.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong. You know, sometimes that's just fine.
Is it?
Yes.
I mean, it'll be something. I don't think any of us played it, so it'll be something new for us.
On the same page of like, oh, Microsoft bought the company, so come to Game Pass. I can wait a year and save myself $60.
Exactly.
Let's call it spade a spade. I'm cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be interested in it no matter what. I just don't play PlayStation right now. So
I would also say it. I think it is good because I do think that somebody pointed out like what PlayStation Plus Essentials and Premium, I don't know, whatever. I launched one in June, and this is like the first time they're adding content to it. So that was needed for them to like, be as serious.
Yeah, like add some new stuff to it. Keep it moving. Well, I guess like they did add that Stray game, which was a new release last month, but nothing like there's more content this time. And there's a weird Konami rumor circulating out there. Well, I guess they're going to have some sort of showcase at TGS this month.
This is also in like 2 weeks, which is where some of these rumors come from.
Yeah. The rumor, well, that not even a rumor. Their wording was that they have an announcement on a much beloved franchise, which has people speculating that they may be bringing back Metal Gear or Silent Hill. Silent Hill's been circling for I don't know forever as well. I think since PT
Evolution Soccer.
Be amazing, wouldn't it? Like everybody's like, oh, it's Metal Gear or Silent Hill, and it's just like. We're changing eFootball back to Pro Evo Soccer.
Yeah. I mean, do they have any staff left who worked on that stuff? Like,
I don't know. Like, well, so the original rumor for Silent Hill was that they were going to be licensing it out to a secondary studio.
They should do. I was going to say they should do a Silent Hill 1 remake, but I feel like they've done that. Maybe I'm crazy.
It kind of Shattered Memories was a one remake. It doesn't really play the same. It's more, and that's more of an adventure game than our standard Silent Hill game. But the rumor circulating with Metal Gear though is that they are prepping a Metal Gear 1, 2, and 3 remaster or remake, maybe of 1. Be interesting if they did Twin Snakes. That could be cool.
Yeah.
Because that game is just lost to time. Can't get that anywhere. So I guess we'll learn more at TGS. It is bound to not be Metal Gear or Silent Hill, I'm sure. But those are the rumors out there.
No hope for Castlevania?
I was gonna say the one thing it won't. I mean, it's like Bomberman's already announced, so it's not Bomberman. Because Super Bomberman R 2 or whatever was announced this year at some point. I think, and we'll see. We will see.
I mean, I would not be opposed to a new Castlevania game.
Be cool. Very cool.
Because I think the thing is, and I could be wrong, it's like Konami doesn't really have any internal studios anymore, right? Or not a ton of them.
No.
A lot of people are good at that type of game, though. That type of game is like every studio does that now.
Yes, but that every studio could do their own thing.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about Konami's internal politics.
They're run by the mob.
The mob. I mean,
the Japanese, it'd be the Yakuza, if anything. Mm-hmm.
I have heard that rumor, Jeff. I don't know of anything about their internal. Like, I don't know if the people that are in charge of Konami, like that kind of ran out, the Castlevania guy and Kojima, and I don't know if that person's still in charge. Because they could get the Castlevania guy back. Like, he's just out there making those Bloodstained games, which are just Castlevania games.
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah. I have one big piece of news here. The UK Competition and Markets Authority has kind of put a hold on the Microsoft Activision acquisition. They are saying they're concerned that Microsoft's anticipated purchase of Activision Blizzard could substantially lessen competition in gaming consoles, multi-game subscription services, and cloud gaming services. They have filed, I guess, a motion to hold. And Microsoft has 5 days to kind of answer any of the questions that have been sent their way on this. And I was surprised because, I mean, we've talked about this previously. how, you know, the consolidation across the industry is not great. But a lot of games press today came out and said that the actual CMA statement, like more than just what I just read, reads like Sony was writing it themselves.
Oh no.
Which would make sense, though. It is their biggest competitor, so like, yes, you're gonna go to them. It's probably easy for them to make a case that like this will create a massive antitrust, anti-competitive marketplace for like. There's no way to like. I mean, we've spent the last 2 decades trying to quote unquote replace Call of Duty, for example.
Sure, but they don't have to replace it. It's not leaving PlayStation. Like
they say that for now.
Sure. But I mean, if that's part of the stipulation on keeping it and them not being pulled in as a monopoly, which they still wouldn't be because they have the third largest market share out of the three.
This is one of those game stories where I wouldn't trust the gaming press to cover it very well. Yeah, I kind of feel like this is where the fact that the gaming press is not that particularly professional really comes into play.
Yeah.
Like you have but people who are not qualified to make this kind of an analysis.
And neither are we. I guess to Chris's point, like that is the thing with like anti-competitive things. It's like, yes, even if Microsoft acquired Activision with Call of Duty, technically speaking, they would still only have a third of the market share. And that would technically not, because over time they may increase, but it's still like, it's hard to be like, yes, Nintendo and Sony. Well, it's a harder case for Nintendo because Nintendo doesn't really have Activision games now. But like Sony can be like, oh, this will damage us long term. But it's still like, even then, it's like, yeah, is it going to damage you to where they control more than 50% of the market? That's the thing that people do with Disney as well, where it's like, yeah, Disney doesn't control 50% of the market, but like they have enough efforts now to kind of put their weight where they need to get stuff there in their favor.
Well, and so that is where I think Microsoft is going to push back on, because some of the stuff that came out of Brazil, which was a similar situation, Brazil expressed some concerns because Sony publicly stated that this would hurt them. And it will. Like, I don't think anybody is denying that, you know, this is not great for Sony. But Sony has been leveraging their space as the market leader, and also in Japan, basically being the home of high end there. They competitively basically block out Microsoft. Like Sony puts like draconian rules on games there, and that's why Microsoft can't get a lot of Japanese games. So I think that'll be part of their argument, is we need to do this to be competitive, otherwise you're going to be stuck with just Sony and Nintendo. Like they're, part of what the CMA was saying is, oh, it's, these new companies coming in. Yeah, like, guess what? Amazon and Google, two bigger companies than Sony and Nintendo, couldn't gain market share. Google's basically pulled out, right? Like their Stadia is dead.
R.I.P.
And, Amazon Luna isn't really taking off. So I don't know, like who do they expect is going to come in here and be competitive? Cause no, like if these companies can't do it, a smaller company coming in is not going to be able
I assume the counterpoint would be then like Microsoft entered the market and found the place after Sega. Even if you lost one, there's a market for like a third company to come in and do their thing. I'm not saying it would work, but I'm like, yes, we've had, Sony entered the market and were able to like knock out. I mean, even Nintendo and Sony, Nintendo and Sega were the kings of the 16-bit era, which was Atari and Neo Geo. and they were able to find a market pay. So people can say, I guess the counterpoint to that, to counter my own point, is like we have not had a successful entry into this market in close to in over 20 years.
Yeah, we're kind of like when was the Xbox was 2001, right? So yeah, it's been 21 years
since the last person successfully entered. I mean, if you don't count mobile, but mobile's more of a storefront than it is a. I mean, it's a device, but it's not a. It's not sold as a gaming device. It's very it's very weird, but
right. Like I don't know. We'll see. I think we'll be hearing more, more out of all this in the next 5 days, because that's how long Microsoft has to respond to the CMA's request. It not going through in the UK doesn't ultimately mean that the deal's off. That's what I find funny about like reading like Twitter commentary is like people are just like, oh, so it's over, right? The UK shut it down? No, like there are options, and the UK is one market. A great deal to not be like Microsoft Activision doesn't operate here anymore. Like or that's like weird, but
you create a dummy company that is like a combination of the two, but it's not either one.
Right.
Because, I mean, I guess the other thing is, like, what does that actually mean? Because, I mean, like, again, does that mean... Because, I mean, Microsoft is, I mean, headquartered in the United States. It could just be like, oh, we'll just have a subsidy of, like, we'll call it Y Square that sells Xbox products and devices in Europe or something like that.
Yeah, I don't... I mean... As you said, we're not equipped to answer all these questions, but I find it fascinating, this whole thing. And it has just escalated the already tiresome console banter between the most diehard of Sony fans and Xbox fans. Like,
well, I mean, to their credit, I usually dislike console warring, but I mean, it's not like they got games to fight over this year, so they need something.
True.
I mean, Sony's big game is out tomorrow, and I will be 110% honest. I completely forgot that was a thing until you mentioned it.
Is The Last of Us out tomorrow?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so I'm not the only one that snuck up on me.
No, I mean, I've seen the reviews recently. That like and the you know the write ups that I knew it was coming, I just didn't realize
it was tomorrow. Yes, I mentioned this. I was talking to somebody. I'm like, oh yeah, you know, like that's gonna be like their big winter title. And like, you know, it's out like this week. I'm like, no, it's not.
Yeah, God of War's their big winter title, right? That's end of October, early November.
Yeah, yeah. And then yeah, I mean, two games in the fall. Yeah, kudos to them.
More than Microsoft has. So
more than Microsoft has. I mean, to Microsoft's credit, they're going to have a new game this year because apparently Halo Infinite's not going to get all of the features that were promised at on.
It's not getting all the features ever. Like they've stripped out split screen co-op. Yeah. Completely. They should have just from the beginning been like, we can't make this work. But
I mean, if they were honest from the beginning, I think this game would have come out this year and not last year. And even then, I still, because I mean, it's going to take a year for this to almost be feature parity with the other games in the franchise at launch. Because like they had the new roadmap this year, today, and it's like campaign co-op and Forge beta are due sometime between November and March of next year. Which is quite the gap. And I think the other thing that Chris is a huge fan of is like you get like, what is it, a 30 level battle pass?
Yeah. So and that's I'm done for
5 months or something like that.
I'm done the season 2 battle pass already. Like, and because of the way the progression works, there's no reason to play it right now. Like, you don't earn anything, you don't go up a level, like, there's no loop. Other than like I win,
that's yay! Cool. I like to win,
right? Like I like to win, but I also like, you know, you like to get that little like ding. Here's the thing you got. Like you went up a level, or, you know, you played enough that you're now like, what level are you on Fortnite, Earl? Like 4 billion, 3?
I'm only 140-ish right now. But yes, and that's, and to your point, that's why, like, whenever I get past 100, it always kind of slows down my momentum, because you knock stuff like every 5 levels now instead of every level. And there's stuff you probably don't want. I never use the sprays. The sprays are dumb. But it's like, you know, like, I used to love, like, finishing, like, a session and going back to the main menu, and it's like, you've unlocked 10 things.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's awesome. Hero's like, here's a thing, and here's a bunch of XP cards. Have fun.
And season 3 is not for another 9 months, so good luck.
Like, yes. And again, I think I said this last week. I was complaining to my friends this week. It's like, Fortnite is, I think this is week 13 of the current season. So that would make it that this is the, what is that? That would make it the third month. The start of we've had 3 full months. This is the start of the fourth month. And yep. I'm just telling them, it feels so long. Like, there's just been, and Fortnite's done a bunch of stuff. Like, we had a whole week of Dragon Ball stuff. There's a special, like, mode going on now. They've had concerts and, but it's like, it just feels so long without, like, that change in the map or dynamic or core element, where, like, Hero doesn't change. So it's even longer, where it's like, I finished these missions, now what?
And then, like, the fact that they're releasing a map, 2 new maps in November, or sometime in between November and March. But you're still, like, really low on maps. Like, we said this back in December, like, you know, the game seemed a little light on maps, but, you know, if they had them coming, if they kept them coming on a regular basis, it would be fine. They've released 2 new maps that entire time. And now we're going to get 2 new maps sometime in November, that time period. Like, you've added 4 maps an entire year through. Like, what is going on?
Yeah. And I mean, they could have even, like, I mean, part of it, I think, in years past, is like a lot of stuff would do Forge. It's like, oh, we'll just throw in some Forge maps and, or modes and stuff like that. And you don't even have that where you have a bunch of creative things. But I think, honestly, it's just, this game, Kiryu, was, I mean, we've said it time and time again this year, Microsoft didn't have anything. And if Halo wasn't out last year, they wouldn't really have anything last year. And you can't, like, this is going to be the third holiday season of both of these consoles. And yeah. The fact of the matter is that you can, I mean, there are literally, I could be misspoken. There are already no Xbox Series X or S exclusives so far. Like, they're all cross-gen. And
I believe so. And they did say that.
And I don't mind that. I don't, but I'm just saying, like, literally, like, if you've had an Xbox One, there has been really not much reason to upgrade. And the same thing with PlayStation 4, there's 5 games.
Yep.
And I don't think that changes much. I mean, The Last of Us Part 1 might count. But again, that's a game that's playable on PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4. It may not be the same version, but it's playable. There's 5 games in 2 years that are just on the PlayStation 5 that is not available on the PlayStation 4 or any other console. And the fact of the matter is that you can count 5 games in 3 holiday seasons between 2 platforms is insane to me.
Yeah, I mean, I am not disappointed in my purchase of a Series X or even my PlayStation 5 purchase, but they are not, like,
vital.
You don't have
to have one.
Yeah, like, you can play just about everything anywhere else, and I like what both of those consoles bring. Like, that, I love that the faster load times and the games do look better on it, but they're not better games. Even the stuff that's on those 5 games you mentioned, Earl, like, you know, Horizon Forbidden West, which was also on PlayStation 4.
So it's like Astro's Playroom. Yeah. I think Ratchet and Clank.
Ratchet was, yeah. Returnal.
Deathloop's on PS4.
Yep.
I don't even remember the other two.
Demon Souls, yeah.
But yeah.
But, yeah, and like those games are pretty, but they're also nothing in Ratchet couldn't have been done on the PS4, right? Like, Demon Souls is a pretty version of one of those games. What I've seen of Returnal, it does not look like it had to be on the PS5 to do it. So what's that leave up with Astrobot?
Yeah, but how do I say this? I feel like since the transition from the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, it's been I feel like the transition has become more and more about like the power of the consoles and not necessarily like we're going to offer you stuff you've never seen before, because right. I feel like we've really gotten to the point where like, okay, we kind of know, we know all the aims and we're just going to refine that, which again, isn't necessarily a bad thing, but I do think it does not make for the most exciting first start of a console. I'm going to throw it under the bus as well. I enjoy the Switch. I have a great time with it. There was nothing on, I really don't think there's anything on the Switch that could not have been done elsewhere. I mean, like the thing that's really been its saving grace is that it has that dual factor of being a home console that you could take on the go. Some people don't do either. Some people play it as a handheld, some people play it as a console. But the fact that you can do it it's one thing. And like, there's been unique games from Nintendo, like Ring Fit and I think Arms, which are unique experiences, but I don't necessarily think that's what people think of as far as like new exciting gameplay changing things than that Paragon. And I think it's one of those things where I think we've gotten early generations was easier, it was graphics, but it was also like the shift to 3D, then it was like the shift to like online multiplayer and HD. And it's like, okay, we've gotten the foundations down. We're just going to refine it, but we need to still sell you $700 systems every 5 or 6 years.
Yep. One other piece of news. It's more for Jeff. Sony and Tencent have both increased their share of From Software and Kodakawa Games or Kodakawa Holdings, which is From's parent company. So Sony now owns 14% of From Software.
Hmm.
And I think Tencent owns 16%. So
woo,
there you go, Jeff. You may need to get a PlayStation at some point.
Eventually, yeah. Yeah.
I don't think 14% is enough to hold from releasing, you know, Elden Ring 2 on
it's not
the Xbox.
It's not a void of majority.
Right.
I think this came out this week, and I could be wrong. Resident Evil on Netflix was canceled after one season.
Yes. Yes. And they leave that kind of on a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Where they're like they're off to go see Ada Wong. But I guess we'll never get to that.
Something's wrong with that.
Oh, I'm so disappointed. Woe is me. I never finished the second episode, I think. So I mean, I think it's just
so it was not good, is what you're saying.
I've said that since it started, but just because I think it's bad doesn't mean it won't get a sequel. I mean, they're doing season 2 of Halo now, so clearly I am not the audience for these video game things. Though you would think I'd be the perfect audience for them, you know, as I play video games and I have way too much free time to watch stuff. But I think it's just been a long time since Netflix canceled a major hyped up product in season 1.
It was moderately successful.
Was it?
Like it was in their, you know, it was not the number one show that week, but it was in their top 5, and it stayed there for, you know, the next few weeks.
Were you clamoring for more?
For, I feel like I wasted, you know, 8 hours of my life now, simply because, like, you know, there's never going to be a resolution. So I watched these 8 episodes and now nothing is going to come of it. It was not great, but you know, I found it watchable.
Yeah. I feel like the Resident Evil brand is just tainted outside of video games. And I feel like that's not a controversial thing.
Zombie movies have been done to death. So what do you need a Resident Evil zombie movie?
And I think that's the thing we talked about when it was premiering, or like before it premiered, is like you are taking what is essentially a video game version of B movies and reconverting it back to B movies.
Yeah, already
B movies exist.
Yeah.
So it's like, what do you offer? And I think what they offer is the stuff that fans don't want to see, which is like Resident Evil does get batshit insane. And I think people wanted to, I mean, it's one of the reasons why I think the original movie franchise did well, is like the movie franchise, like, this is dumb. We're going to lean into the dumbness of the whole property and create this unique world where, like, Welcome to Raccoon City and this, it's like, oh no, we're going to get into, like, explaining the science of it, and we're going to give you, like, all the Easter eggs, there's a zombie dog, and it's like, no, people, like, we've seen zombie movies are a dime a dozen, and I honestly feel like they peaked in the 2000s between, like, Dawn of the Dead remake, Shaun of the Dead, and 28 Days Later. And I guess The Walking Dead's been on TV for like 50 years now, so.
Yep. Yeah, it's not been a good couple years for Resident Evil in the entertainment space outside of games. So bring back Alice. Give me a Resident Evil 7.
He's too busy ruining the Monster Hunter movies.
Are they making a sequel to that?
I don't think so. I don't think, because that one, I mean, I forget what happened exactly, but I know it was, they said something stupid, which just was like, oh, you're banned in China. And once it was banned in China, it's like, oh, we can't make our money back. And we're going to come out in, it was January of last year, so it was still like, the vaccine was available, but it wasn't highly available.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, we're going to come out in theaters at the peak of the pandemic, and we can't do China, so watch our movie. And nobody watched their movie. Well, I watched their movie, but I'm a broken man.
That's true. You are.
I am.
We love you for it.
I accept my brokenness, because I was like, I'm probably one of the few people who actually saw that movie and saw the Dynasty Warrior movie.
Now, that's one I've not seen.
I actually think that's a ton of fun. I do think it goes on too long. I feel like you could have trimmed, like, I think it's like a little over 2 hours, but I feel like you could have trimmed it a bit and it would have been fantastic. I mean, fantastic for a video game movie. So yes, 27% on Rotten Tomatoes. So,
all right. Well, is there anything, I guess Earl just said that Last of Us remake comes out tomorrow, but I don't think any of us are getting that. Is there anything else new coming out next week?
I mean, so Tune's out next week, but that will be after we record.
So that's a Friday game.
I'm sure. I mean, again, like, I might crack, and I was looking at it today, I might get the Cowabunga collection. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. We're really just seeing how long I can hold out until somebody has, like, the special edition, like, for $100. That's the sweet spot for me, but and I feel like there's a indie game or something out next week, but I could be wrong. I feel like there was something that was out early next week, but
Train Sim World.
There you go. Game of the year.
What we've all been waiting for. Nothing here is jumping out of me. NBA 2K3, but that's not next week. That's the 9th. So, yeah, nothing really jumping out.
Next week, but that is after.
after we're done recording. So, Lego Brawls.
Woo! No.
Is that? I mean, that Obliget game was out today. I don't know. I've seen people who are interested in that. Oh yes, okay. I don't remember this is free to play. The Disney Dreamlight game.
Yeah, that's the Animal Crossing game, right?
Yeah.
That's out. Yeah. Okay, that was the one I was thinking. That's out.
I'll give you a report on that.
Okay.
That's out next week.
I think so. Yeah.
I think it's early access or something like that. So okay. It's playable, but.
Temtem is out. That's one Jeff was like, "What the fuck's Temtem?"
Is that out?
It'll be that's out Pokemon on. Yeah. Yep, Windows, Switch, PS5, and Series X next week on the 6th.
I think so many people did a disservice calling it the Pokemon Killer, because you can never, ever live up to that. And then I think, I honestly thought this came out ages ago, but not next week, the week after. The 13 remake is finally coming out.
I thought that was already out too. Isn't it out? I thought that was on PC already.
It's been out a long time.
Yeah, that 13 coming. Yeah, it comes out on Switch next week. It's already out on PS4.
Okay.
Yeah, nobody cared. Yeah.
Okay. That's why I was confused.
That's another one of those games where it's like, why are we doing this? Nobody liked this in the first. Like, it had like a cool visual.
Time out. No. Okay. So this is. Okay, I'm just going to double check because if I'm reading this correct, this is kind of insane because this seems like it's a second remake of the game.
It's a different remake. Different
remake of the previous version that came out in 2020.
Who cares? Because
that is also on the Switch and PlayStation and Xbox One.
Oh, yep. Microids plans to release an improved version on September 13th, 2022.
Sure, they'll get it right this time. This time it'll be.
But words. That was one of the reasons I remembered it. It's because it's like it was that in Excel damage I think, where like two games they remade. And it's like, who was asking for this? Like, what was the audience demand?
Exactly. Like,
niche
game to begin with. Like,
so the fact that they're doing it twice is kind of impressive.
Yeah.
I was having a burn like that.
Yeah. Like you, Earl, I'm waiting on the Cowabunga collection, so I've not got into that yet. Kind of disappointed in the achievement list on it, too. So.
Oh, is it just... I think you and Sean had the conversation where it's like, no, it's just like every time you beat a game, you get an achievement.
Yeah, beat each of the games, and then I think there's like that fighting game that's in it as well, and it's like beat Shredder, beat somebody else.
Beat Shredder.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like there you have to beat three people in it, and three different people, and that's one of the three of the achievements, and the other ones are beat the games. Not a very enticing list. All right. Well, Tony, maybe we'll play some Battlefield. Much else is going on. Jeff, have you and Melissa made any more progress on that? It Takes Two.
Nope.
It Takes Two.
Maybe we should play that.
Oh wow!
I would. I played a little bit with my buddy, and we got like three levels in. It's fun.
You're just stepping like in for his wife, huh?
Yeah, but it's just like getting any sort of like, all right, let's keep going. It's like, I don't know. The game's fun, but like no one seems to care.
We should poke at that. There's all a right. Yeah. I've been wanting to play that anyway, so.
You'll dig it. I know you'll dig it.
I'll let you know.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week with something. Who knows?
Disney princesses.
Princesses.
I feel like I'm missing something, but I feel like there is. I think the next Yakuza game is announced next week. There's something announced on like the 8th of next week that I don't remember what, but I'm sure we'll see it when we get there.
All right. So Yakuza 8, would that be? Yeah. Those games are fun. I did not play the new one yet, but I've liked what I played of that series. All right. Well, we'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.